Welcome back, guys. DGS, Bruna's past 5 p.m. Time for the Think Tank. All veterans today, Mike Colonna, Gabe Pfeiffer, and Chris Arps. I know we haven't been together since the Mueller report came out. That feels like a month ago. Feels like very old news, but I at least want to go around the horn. So, Mike, let's start with you. Mueller report comes out. Everyone freaks out. Days go by. Someone actually reads it and tells the rest of us what's in it. The devil in the details. How did it hit you?
I think you know I'm a law and order type of Democrat, meaning I have faith in our system. Now, don't be chuckling.
I think there was such a thing as that anymore.
No. I mean, again,
Chris Arps is a snickerer.
And don't believe me.
Let's call him Snickers.
Just go look at my voting record. Okay. I supported law enforcement all along. So what I've told my Democratic friends is, you know, it's a U.S. Department of Justice. You have to trust what they present. And of course, some of them are like, but Attorney General Barr, man, he's the lackey. He's like the Trump sycophant, blah, 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 blah. I said, you know what? Get beyond that. All right, get beyond that. Read the report. Get over the fact that there was no collusion and take a look at the report that talks about potential obstruction of justice. Because you have to remember, my Democratic friends, Robert Mueller, whether you agree or disagree, starts from the premise of, I will not indict a sitting president. Now, from a legal perspective, can you, can't you, who cares? That's the premise that Robert Mueller started from. So he is presenting evidence to the American public and to Congress on what he has discovered. And I think at the end of the day, it's up to us as voting citizens to be educated, to read the report, and to ask ourselves, well, if there wasn't a crime, or maybe if there was a crime and he just wasn't indicted, regardless of legal or illegal activity, are these the actions that we want our president to take?
Can I go back for one moment to the William Barr being a lackey? At the risk of calling Americans stupid, I'm a trained lawyer, and I started reading the Mueller report and just glazed over. Most Americans can't or won't really understand what's going on with the Mueller report. We can all understand someone being a lackey. We can all understand someone being in the bag for somebody. So you look at this 400 pages and you glaze over, and then someone goes, I think that William Barr guy is in the bag. And you're like, yes, right? It's something we can all hold on to and we can understand it.
And what I think was really disappointing, though, is that our party leadership, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are doing just that. They're like, hey, man, this is so complicated. You don't need to read this. Let me tell you what it says. And you got the folks on the right saying,
like the old days of the Christian church?
Yeah.
Before the Gutenberg.
But, I mean, I think there's some universal things we can all agree to. And that is, you know, we had a candidate that was running for president that, you know, told a foreign power, who's our adversary, the Russians, bring it on. Give us whatever you got, baby. If that's what you want our presidential candidates to do, well, that's your opinion.
I heard
you could have a sitting president say, yeah, just wait till after the election and I'll be more flexible.
I haven't seen that in a report anywhere.
Yeah, it was on TV. But, well, the problem is, to me, is that maybe because the way I come at politics is that I come at it from the standpoint that I'm expecting to see some shenanigans. Maybe that's the problem. I'm already cynical about the entire political system and politicians in particular. Present company accepted. You're pretty good.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
So when I see something that's shady but not quite criminal, I shrug my shoulders. And maybe that's just a symptom of a system that is
You bring up a really good point, because corrupt. You know, and if my opinion, anybody ever wants to know what the average person is thinking on the streets, because whether we like it or not, we're elites. You want to know what folks at work 70 hours a week are thinking? Just go to your neighborhood bar at night and have a drink and have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that have come out, when I'll do this just to make sure that I'm not off base with stuff. And you've hit on a topic without even knowing you hit on it. And that is, how many folks sit back and wonder, is this stuff that just goes on all the time? It's just, it's never been reported on. And now we've got somebody telling us this has been happening.
And that's my entire premise. And I've kind of come at politics from that perspective for at least a decade now. So I don't know if everybody else is just slower on it, but that's kind of the way I see it.
It's such a simple but brilliant point that shady's one thing. Mm-hmm. And anyone who thinks there's ever been an administration that was not shady, you're a child. But and then there's criminal.
Yeah.
And if you go all the way up to the edge of criminal but don't get there, you're just like everybody else. Yeah. And that's sad.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. And we should be able to hold our leaders to a higher standard, but we can't because they're not. Yeah. And I don't think they ever have been.
No. Yeah. I think in a lot of ways what I've kind of mentioned this before, I think Trump's election kind of ushered in the era of naked politics, where now, you know, the veil has been lifted and we actually see some of the things that politicians probably say under their breath or to their staff, sure, or whatever, but Trump just says it out loud.
You
and that's got to be why you're going to love Uncle Joe also.
Say whatever you want about Obama, but that guy was smooth.
Slick.
He was the anti-Trump. Trump is a lot of things, but he's not smooth.
No, yeah.
He just walks in the room and starts telling you your wife's fat.
You know, Dave, I had like 0% interest when the full redacted report came out. I thought when Barr brought out his 4-page memo that was pretty much going to summarize it. What I'm much more interested in seeing is the investigation of the investigation. And that's a lot of talk in Washington where the attorney general is going to investigate what many of us believe is the real collusion that was involved Hillary Clinton and all of those shenanigans.
Hang on, you know, I see that black helicopter over there. Better watch it. They probably got them sound and listening thingies on there listening to you right now.
A report came out of Judicial Watch, as you know, are attorneys that do Freedom of Information Acts and get important information, that and the mainstream media is burying this, but the Obama White House had 300,000 of Hillary Clinton's emails in the executive office of the president's office. Also, 3 years ago, it came out that Obama was communicating with Hillary on her private server with a pseudonym when he was all along saying that he didn't know she had this until he read in the newspaper. So that's what I'm looking at. Barr's report or Mueller's report showed no collusion. The obstruction of justice charge is dubious at best. I can't wait for the real investigation to see about the report that from this Steele dossier that was proven false. That's
where
the real report is.
Look at that bird. Look at that bird over there. Look at that bird. Sorry, that's my best James Carville right there. Look at the bird.
Except the problem is, you know, the bird's sitting on a tree and it's poisonous. So, you know, the thing is, you know, you guys know this, you're lawyers. Fruit of the poisonous tree is a thing, isn't it? So if the entire investigation into Trump was based on something that was less than kosher, this dossier, then you've got to at least look at what's going on.
Let
with that, right?
And you just look at Mike, and you also look at Peter Strzok and his girlfriend and all the emails. I mean, a blind squirrel could find this. If you start adding up all the dots and putting them together,
that's fine. Why doesn't President Trump just reach out right now and say, yo, Vladimir, yo, bud, I need some more information for my re-election. What you got on Joe Biden? What you got on the gay boy that I'm having my evangelical say should be like, you know, like crucified or something? It just, why? Look, how about Xi, you know, in China, Trump and Xi get along. Why doesn't President Trump just get on the TV and say, Xi, send me what you got. Come on, I need to get reelected.
So what is your point?
My point is, apparently y'all are fine with that. Apparently y'all are fine with our president of the United States reaching out to foreign adversaries and saying, give me dirt on people,
Mike,
so I can win my re-election.
Mike, what we're fine is
that's
a,
why I'm saying, look,
Mike,
at the bird.
Mike, what we're,
you're ignoring
what, Mike,
what
what
this
we're
president
fine
has done.
With is a 2.5-year investigation by a very respected ex-FBI director and prosecutor who said unequivocally that there was no collusion, and he also said that he couldn't definitively say there's an obstruction of justice.
Right.
That's what I'm looking at.
Right.
All the other stuff that you're talking
you're right.
about, you know, makes good politics.
So then you don't care that
report.
Our president worked with Russia.
I didn't
to get
say
dirt
that I didn't
Hillary
care.
Clinton.
What I'm saying is I don't think Mueller has shown that it is not illegal what he did. That's fine with me.
And that's where I disagree with you.
I would not be surprised, not at all, if any past president didn't do the same thing.
Now I'm going to pull lawyer jerk on you here. You speculate all you want. You might be right. But all I know is what's in front of me today. And all I know is that President Trump, people are like, bring it on. Yo, Vlad, what else you got? All I know is that President Trump went on TV and said, hey, WikiLeaks, let me see what you got. If you can find them emails, let me know. Then when I asked about WikiLeaks later, of course he says, I have no idea who you're talking about.
So are you trying to make a point that because WikiLeaks and Russia stole Democratic emails, that's why Hillary lost? Are you trying to make
not
that?
At all. Not at all. My point is, I'm going to argumentatively, I'll give you no crime was committed. Well, I'll give it to you on the collusion, because again, collusion is not a crime, it's conspiracy. And there's no evidence that a conspiracy was there. Depends on who you talk to, why, but who cares? Go to the obstruction. Did obstruction occur? Well, Mueller says, you know, I can't exonerate him. Y'all figured out. So from a legal perspective, I give you all of that. I'm talking about, what do we expect from the highest office in the land? Do we want them reaching out to foreign adversaries and saying, help me win election? My answer would be no, because my question would be, what are you going to give to those people down the road that we don't know about?
None of that was proven.
Hold on.
None of what you just said was proven that they reached out to a foreign adversary. Foreign adversary.
Okay, that is different. That is not credible, gentlemen. Not credible.
I just like that my Colonna's Trump impression sounds like a black guy from a McDonald's commercial in the 80s.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness. On that note, ba-dum-bum.
Welcome back, guys. The Think Tank with Chris Arbs, Gabe Pfeiffer, and Mike Colonna. Just a couple more minutes on the Mueller thing. I was listening to NPR on my way in today, and terrible broadcaster, because he didn't say the guy's name.
Sorry, I'm still trying to get over you listen to NPR. Oh, I don't even listen to NPR.
That's almost all I listen to. And this gentleman was a former attorney for the president. And he said that after the Mueller report, he now believes the president should be impeached. So we'll need to Google that and find out who this guy is. Otherwise, people think I'm making that up. But he was saying that the Mueller report, he believes, is the blueprint and the wink and nod to Congress. These are the conditions to impeach the president. Now, this is his former attorney.
Yes.
Any of you, even if you don't think that it does rise to that, any of you believe that Mueller was winking at Congress saying, look, I can't charge the guy, but here you go?
Yeah, I think when he didn't unequivocally say there was no collusion and unequivocally said there was no obstruction, I think he was leaving it open for Congress to open up more investigations. I mean, we have what we have now where they're looking for a crime. I mean, they want to get the president's tax returns because they think that they may find something wrong in there. I think that is terrible. All this is, and what it's going to look like to the American people, is people playing politics and playing presidential politics by using the impeachment process. The economy is going bangusters. The people are happy with where they are and with their finances right now. And people are going to see through what this is. It's pure politics. Impeachment would be a big mistake. And you see a lot of the Democratic folks, the ones, the establishment Democratic folks, are saying, impeachment is not the road to go.
I'm just looking above you. North Korea has presented the United States with a bill for $2 million for Otto Warmbier's care. Wow. Okay, that's a set of balls.
This is a moment where the president should issue some type of a statement and tell them to very politely go spank themselves.
I don't think that his statement's going to be polite.
Actually, you know, you're right. And then, you know what? And let's be real. That's one of the reasons why, you know, President Trump is still as popular as he is. He talks to folks like a normal person.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to get one over on you.
Boy, this will be a real test, though, because he really likes Kim Jong-un. Yeah. And,
I think what this tells me is, I think the talks and everything have been stalled, and North Korea is needing something. So
yeah.
This
go meet with Putin,
saying something really crazy to try to get the president's ire and try to get on the news.
So let me ask Gabe and Chris, now that we kind of know what's in the Mueller report, we know the 10 things that he was uncomfortable with and it could have been obstruction, is there anything in there, first of all, that just makes you uncomfortable, the way it did Mitt Romney, who said, I don't think it's a crime, but I think he said I'm like sickened at the president's behaviors. Anything like that for you guys?
Well, the stuff that Mike mentioned, yeah, that it makes me uncomfortable for sure. But no more uncomfortable than I am with politicians to begin with.
Could you, if it's tomorrow, the election's tomorrow, and it's Biden versus Trump, can you wholeheartedly pull that Trump lever and not look back?
Easily.
Okay.
Just and in that regard, it's really just a record thing. You know, now, before it was I'm going to hold my nose, take a chance. Let's see what this guy can do. And we've seen what this guy can do. And, if Trump was in any other job, and I'm just I'm just the guy evaluating his performance on the job, you know, what his job is. You know, you're scoring him high all day, and you're like, man, he's kind of a jerk to Becky at the front desk, and you know, he's always ribbing his coworkers, and his language is horrible. He actually makes the office environment kind of uncomfortable.
He asked my sister out, and I don't want her to go.
Exactly, but dang it, he's you know, bringing this company
the
to you know, to new heights.
I'd have to say the Trump Tower meeting, if I had to point out one particular thing that would concern me. Manafort was there, the son-in-law was there, the meeting was under the guise of adoptions, we find out it's something else, the president is on Air Force One making up a statement to give to his son to give to the media regarding the meeting, that, you know, looks like some smoke and looks shady, but as I've said before, we had a 2.5-year investigation. Mueller looked at it and found
Mueller basically said these guys were too dumb.
Exactly.
He really did.
Exactly.
They're just too dumb to collude.
I think it was just naive.
But doesn't this make you sit back and wonder, what other things is he lying to me about?
Sure.
Yeah.
But and this is a terrible point. It's an awful point. But to Gabe's point, maybe he lies more than most of them, but it's not like the other ones are honest.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. I have a good friend who a retired Republican senator, and we'll chat about this stuff every once in a while. And, you know, he thinks Trump's going to get reelected. My thoughts are, I have more faith in the American people, because if you want to talk about the state of economy, you want to talk about how people are doing, I think his really bad policies, like the whole tax plan, slowly but surely, that's filtering down to the average working class person, that this doesn't help me.
Dude, stop reciting talking points. Do you know that we have created more blue-collar jobs than white-collar jobs this past year? The fruits of this economy are filtered down to people. That's not going to sell to people.
I'm surprised you're not going to compare this to Obama like you like to compare it to, because Obama created more jobs, if you want to do it that way.
You can look back historically. Whenever the economy is doing good, the president's going to get reelected.
Dave, I think the American people are going to be like, man, what's up? I'm paying more in taxes. I thought I was supposed to get a bigger refund.
Because people are not stupid,
who's
Mike.
Paying more
people
taxes?
Know that they got their money during the year. That's why they didn't get money during their tax refund. Stop talking down to people, they're stupid.
When you come out of your bubble, just let me know, because the American people
got less tax refunds, Mike, because they got more money during the year.
Well, man, do me a favor.
You can't argue it. That's a fact.
Go up into my old district and you knock on doors and you tell people, baby, don't be mad you ain't got no more money coming
because
at you with
you
tax
got your
refunds
money during
because
the
you got
year,
more during the
and
year.
People
they're going to look at you in the
that.
Face and say, I was expecting a refund like I always expect a refund. So you try and talk above them and stay in your bubble, and that's fine. But Dave, I think with the campaign coming on, people are going to sit back and think, wait a minute, look at these cages that kids were put in coming across the border. Is that what I want my president to do? They're going to say, wait a minute, they just called that racist Nazi MF-er in Charlottesville. He just called them good people. Are you kidding me?
He did not. That is a huge, it's a massive lie.
You're right.
That
there are good people. There were good people on both sides of that. Okay,
Excuse me. Do you remember what the entire protest was about? Do you think it was just like this Nazi rally? They had 50,000 people there as just a freaking white supremacist gathering. It was about the statues. You remember the whole statue deal? Some people wanted to tear down the statues. Some people wanted to keep the statues up. And in the middle of that, you had maybe 50 white supremacists and about maybe 100 Antifa people.
If that's what the president really thought, he could have come out and corrected his statement instead of being,
Mike is a microcosm of the Democratic Party. You don't hear him talking about anything about this is what the Democratic Party wants to do for you. Here's our agenda. It's all trying to scare people about Charlotte and Trump's going to get in the war. You have no agenda.
And
that's
kids in cages.
And when I try and talk about reality,
I didn't get as much money back in my tax refund because I got the majority of the money during the week. During the year. Come on, man. You guys got to do better than that, or you're going to get embarrassed next year.
Let's try to find some common ground. Let's talk about homosexuality for a second.
Okay. All right, let's do that.
So, Mike, you referenced it earlier. What's going on between Pete...
Buttigieg.
Help me out. Buttigieg. Mayor Pete, I'm just going to call him,
yep.
And Mike Pence. Now, were the two of them friends at one point? They seem to have a relationship.
My understanding is they were friendly.
Okay, okay. So not only is this going on where Mayor Pete seems as if, at Taylor University, a Christian college, that Pence was supposed to be the commencement speaker, enough Christian students said no. And their thing was, not my Jesus, just like not my president.
Mm-hmm.
So we're relitigating, it seems, which should not be a shock. It's one of those things we relitigate every election. But the Supreme Court said gay marriage, and we moved on down the road, and now here we are again.
So, Dave, I think this is a non-issue. And what we're seeing are both sides trying to play to their base, to gin people up and get them excited. Buttigieg wants the base to come out and vote for him in the primary. And I won't even say it's the president's folks, because the president's not the one that's doing it. It's some evangelicals and some talking heads that are saying, you know, God says gays are bad, you should repent, Buttigieg. Highlighting the students at a Christian university saying, we should get over this, that's not my Jesus. That's just another example on how this is not an issue, in my opinion, for the American public. It's just playing politics at the moment to gin bases up.
I think Buttigieg is actually the genesis of this, really, because the thing is, the media plays it as a feud, but there was no feud until Buttigieg started throwing shade on Mike Pence.
Let me get your opinion on something, though.
Sure.
Because I kind of agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that's something that needed to be thrown out early, like now, to flush it out, to get over
it, get
it
out of the way? No, I think Buttigieg understands that he's in an election that is highly dependent on with a constituency, I should say, that's highly dependent on identity politics. Mm. And that if you look at him, he's just another white guy. But he throws out his gay card, and now he's got some intersectional comeuppance.
Pete Buttigieg, whatever the heck his name is very comfortable with being labeled.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, I did. He's very comfortable with being labeled as the gay candidate, and he throws it out there at the beginning, and he picked on Mike Pence when Mike Pence has never said a cross word about this guy, and gets into this homosexual debate with them.
No, that is his wife do that.
That's what, you know, people have accepted in a certain sense gay marriage. It's the law. Fine. We can't do anything to turn that back. That's it. But to lead with it, and every single aspect of his campaign seems to be that, just is too much for me.
No,
quick break.
Not.
Right back.
No, it's not.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, the think tank. The guys were just talking about how quickly it moves when we have this particular lineup, which it does.
It's a beautiful thing.
It does. So Joe Biden has announced, I'm just looking at the television, he's at 27%. Bernie Sanders is closest with 20%. A poll came out today showing that if the election were today, he would beat Trump by 8 percentage points. How are we feeling about Uncle Joe?
I think Uncle Joe is leading the pack because of name recognition, but I think once the other Democratic campaigns and the operatives dig up women, that he has probably been a little more friendly than he would like. And I also think that eventually they're going to find women that he's had an affair with or something, which will drop him down immediately.
Yeah, you said that last time.
Yeah.
But now, would the premise of that be that if all they find are more women whose hair he sniffed, that's not enough?
No, I think they were kind of funny, I think they were trying to tease him at the beginning to say this is the stuff,
gotcha,
potential stuff we
yeah,
have
it
on
could
you.
Get a lot worse than this.
Yeah,
Joe.
It was a warning shot.
Yeah,
it was a
warning shot.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, I don't know if Joe's going to have the legs for the marathon here, because the thing is, you know, it's what, 20? 20 candidates right now, and most of them are sitting very firmly on the far left side of the political aisle in the Democrat Party. And Joe is a much more moderate voice. So, you know, where does that leave him when it comes to the actual primary activities that are going to go down? And I'm not sure he's going to survive all that attack.
Mike, how are you feeling about it?
First off, I just got to tell you that as a Democrat, having Bernie Sanders as number two at the moment scares the hell out of me. That man frightens me.
Yep.
You know, when everything's said and done, Chris, you may be right about what comes down the pike, but my hope is that we've learned a little bit from the last election cycle. And if one thing that we should give President Trump credit for is being himself. So if Uncle Joe is himself, and when he's confronted with some of this stuff, he's like, you know, he doesn't pull the quick, oh, I'm a bad boy apology thing. But he's like, you know what? This is what I did in 1978. This is what I did in 1984. This is what I did in 1990-something. Those are different times. This is the reason why I did it, you know? And today, we're in 2019. It is a different world, and I get that. But when it comes down to what a president should be, when it comes down to being truthful and honest with the American people, when it comes time to retaking leadership of the world stage, I've got a track record. So does this president.
I think,
who is it, do you think, can do a better job?
I think what you're going to see in the Democratic primary is the same thing that you saw in the Republican primary in 2016. And you're going to see one person who is fighting for the establishment vote and the other person that's fighting for the grassroots activist vote. And you're going to see which one of those is going to win out in the end, because the Democratic establishment are scared to death of Ocasio Cortez and Bernie and all of them. I see it. I watch MSNBC and CNN and Terry McAuliffe telling them, don't impeach this guy. You know, we can't be that far to the left. That's where the real battle is going to be, seeing them fight the establishment and the radical left roots.
And what makes me slightly grumpy, though, about the radical left, because there's a radical right, there's a radical left. They're the noisiest.
But they've taken over your party, though.
We have a vocal right.
But the radical left has taken over your party.
I would tease you and say something like, that's just because working class Democrats are too busy working to get onto the tweeter box.
No, they were too busy voting for Donald Trump in 2016.
Right, because they believed his line.
Democrats voted for Donald Trump.
You're right, because they believed his line of crap. And you know what? They ain't believing it next time around.
So what does Joe or Kamala or Corey have to say about Trump for the next 18 months, other than he's a monster? He's a monster. He's mean. He hates gay people. He hates black people. But the numbers are not on their side. So is that all they have, is to just say he's a horrible, horrible person and we hate him? Because the numbers are good.
You know, I don't know. Because if we think about our experience in politics, and you look at primaries, and historically speaking, you cater towards your end of the spectrum in your primary, then you moderate once you win the nomination. Although, again, Trump's campaign kind of upended that.
He did not.
So really, I don't know. I would hope that if one of those folks won the nomination, they would swing to the middle a little bit and acknowledge some of President Trump's strengths. Because and that's what I think Biden will do if he gets the nomination. He's going to say, yeah, look, this guy did this, he did that, he did this. That's the right thing to do. I agree with that. I want to do that kind of stuff too. But look at all this other stuff that he's done that I ain't going to do. I'm going to make America great again.
But you guys have to decide, like Republicans had to decide in 2016, do you want to win, or do you want somebody that's super left-wing and progressive? We just can't vote for Joe Biden because he won't carry the water for you. That's the issue that you guys are going to have to wrestle with. And I don't know which, and I think they're going to choose the far left-wing person than someone wanting to win.
I got to chuckle because I'm thinking the Republicans have already made that choice. And then I thought, well, Mike, sure, that's kind of stupid to say. But then I thought about it. They have made that choice. They've given up on fiscal conservativeness and the debt. They've given up on world leadership. They've given up on, let's be real, North Korea. And we're about to give up on Great Britain. You've heard everything that Trump said about that lately. It's...
How are we giving up on world leadership? We've renegotiated NAFTA. China is coming to the table because the tariffs are squeezing them, because we have a good economy and we can hold out on tariffs. The North Korean dictator, even though that's kind of a rocky situation, he at least still came to the table. He hasn't, I think, just recently fired off a missile or tested something, but they've kind of had a moratorium on that. Where are we lacking in world leadership?
Well, let's see. I guess we've forgotten that we've advocated NATO leadership to Vladimir Putin. We've advocated Syria to Vladimir Putin.
How have we done that?
Oh, for crying out loud. Do you not watch the news? Are you so
much in the
bubble?
No, I just
want
to know if you know more than talking points. Can you expound more than talking points?
Sure. Why we haven't talked more about what happened in Great Britain is what could happen here with Russian influence for the Let's Leave the EU carrying the day, and now Great Britain is having a hell of a time trying to figure out what
this is going to do. So how is this Trump abdicating leadership?
So you're saying the Russians also stole the Brexit election? Is that the?
I think he is. I'm intrigued by this.
Don't paint me as a conspiracy theorist.
No, but that's like that.
Said it.
Exactly. Don't play the tape.
Don't stand there with the paintbrush and say that I did it.
I think if you look at a lot of the xenophobic crap that was being spewed on the Twitter box and Great Britain's version of the Globe or. What's the tabloid stuff that the president
Inquirer?
That's it, the Inquirer. Yeah. Their version of the Inquirer. I bet you he's talking about them scary, not Mexicans, but them scary Arabs coming across, and them Frenchies. They're bad too.
People wanting control of their own people or their own country,
their own
borders. Sovereignty. Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah,
thing,
see, isn't it? See, the thing is, what I always find interesting is that what would otherwise be considered a relatively understandable and intelligent position to take on any particular issue on the right is always, without fail, cast as some gigantic, evil, bigoted conspiracy by left talking heads. I want to have operational control of our border, and I want to have a policy of immigration that of our own choosing, then that is automatically xenophobia, racism.
No, but let's talk about Great Britain.
Because my problem with what happened in Great Britain is
that there's more to that conversation. Okay, what happens with Great Britain in the EU is something akin to South Carolina. No, wait, let's do it this way. North Carolina saying, we really don't like the gays. We don't want the gays getting married. We don't want the gays eating our cakes. So we're going to secede from the union because the union tells us the gays have to get married.
You did exactly what I just said you would do. Because the thing is, having a preference for sovereignty
now that you're advocating for North Carolina to secede, what do you think would happen to North Carolina's economy if they seceded from the union because they thought gays are bad and should be burned?
What do you think would happen to their economy? Your straw man feet and walked them over to me. What are you doing?
What do you think is going to happen to Great Britain's economy when all of a sudden they have to start paying tariffs on EU stuff? And the EU slaps a bunch of tariffs on Britain stuff coming over to them. Mike, that's why the Brexit hasn't been approved yet. They're trying to figure out economically how to make this work because they want to control their borders.
What they realized was that the EU was not a federal system in which they actually had a voice all the way up to the top. It's some supranational entity that sits on top of it.
Here's where I'm
going to
get into straw man. That's into weeds. Stop getting into the weeds.
Hey, Mike,
come on.
You know, before we came on the air, we talked about, where the building is next to a lot of homeless are encamped and that situation. And you're talking about people shouldn't have controls over their border, Mike.
I did not say that.
So after we're finished here, will you go down here and pick up one of these homeless people and take them to your house and let them stay with you and live with you until they get back on their feet? And you have no idea who these people are. You don't know what their background is, but your nice, compassionate, liberal heart, are you going to take them home and let them live with you?
Well, you see, I'm going to do what compassionate people would do for immigrants. I'm going to say, did they say you're going to cut your head off because of who you married? Did they whip you and burn you? I'm
going to
do that as soon as you do.
You're,
stop insulting me. I'm going
to
do that as soon as you do. How's that?